on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome to the Lords on the Lords of Logic. Yes, last week we kicked off our follow-through on the book, The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. Some of you may know it for, I would say, its famed nuggets. Some people think it's a book worth owning, reading. Others who've read it think, well, what's a book? It's psychopathic in its detailing or in its concept of power. I've read a little history on Machiavellian, and I've also read The Art of War. And I would even suggest that you're better off reading The Art of War. I think I kind of said that like a while ago. In comparison to reading The 48 Laws of Power, this if you want a just scale for the wielding of power. Now, sometimes you don't even have power, but given what you have, you can exercise human will, which in itself is a function of power. And I've told you that before, right? Well, it's okay if you don't agree, but remember, anything that I say that you do not agree with, you're at liberty to contend with it, only if you have a superior argument. So you must at least provide a superior argument to upset something I say, or, yeah, something I say that you don't agree with, all right? Good. So last week we dealt with the first law, which is never outshine the master. And honestly, I wanted us to go back to that because I thought much of that needed to still be cooked. We needed to bring it to a point where it's done. I don't feel that that's properly done. If you've missed it, well, the idea of never outshine your master, ensure that those above you always feel superior. Go out of your way to make your superior, your boss, whatever, look better and feel smarter than anyone else. Everyone is insecure, but an insecure boss can retaliate more strongly than others. I want to tell you all the ways that this is wrong, in my personal opinion. I want to tell you all the ways that this is wrong, but that's, you know, one opinion, and I was hoping that when we go at opinions, we try to pick, choose, pound, inflate, deflate, cross-examine, upscale, descale, we may be able to arrive what's left after we put any logic through the fire. So I'm hoping that sometime in the future we're able to revisit a few of the aspects, a few of the notions in the book, and reevaluate how they may relate to any of the, you know, any of the notions within the 48 Laws of Power. So today on the show, law number 2 states, never put too much trust in friends. Learn to use your enemies. So the idea is you keep a close eye on your friends. They get envious and will undermine you. If you opt or co-opt an enemy, he'll be more loyal than a friend because he'll try harder to prove himself worthy of your trust. I don't think I've seen anything as twisted as this, but you know what? That's my opinion. I want to hear your opinion. So Robert Greene is saying, if you want to, I don't think this is an acquiring of social power. I think this is a posturing with power, because I don't see how someone with power would go through this. But instead, a person can pose with something in order to appear to be something. Now, the question is he or is he not? Chances are, if he's putting up a show just to look like it, then he's not. So let's interrogate this. Remember, you're not supposed to accept anything that I say. On the Lords of Logic, you are supposed to counter it in the event that you don't agree. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. So some of the logic here, according to Robert Greene, do not rely on your friends. They will never be totally honest with you. They will not openly disagree with you in order to avoid arguments. So if we pick that point, what kind of friends do you have if your friends can look you in the eye and tell you something is going to kill you? How is your friend more willing to save a friendship when you are at risk of some damage? Okay, so that's just one of the things he raises. Enemies expect nothing, so they will be surprised when you are generous. Really? Do your friends really expect something? Are they your friends for what they can get? I want to leave it here And maybe from your own experience, you can speak on how this may apply to you. And if you really have that mental power, I would ask that you separate, or at least you can, even if you merge your human experience, but you're able to elevate yourself to a logical scale where you are able to properly break it down, chew it in, spit it out, or maybe just ingest it. The Lords of Logic, welcome. My name's Joyce. Let's talk. It's the 48 Laws of Power. We're on Law 2 on Nigeria Info. Let's get to it. Welcome to the show.
Benedicta say tu Celedoni. Memnon, Lord Memnon from Festa.
That's Latin for what?
It means blessed are you above women.
Oh, and blessed are ye in the fruit. Well, how did the Catholic say that thing? Blessed are, what's the Catholic version? I know the Catholics say that thing.
I think you are referring to the Magnificat, right?
At this point, I don't even know what I'm referring to.
The reading of Elizabeth to Mary, blessed are you amongst women.
Oh, okay. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, something Jesus. What's that?
Yeah, blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. As in,
Is that it?
I think Mary started first.
Then Mandoline finished it.
Yeah.
Good to have you here on the Lords of Logic. Blessed that thou amongst the Lords.
Yeah. So, I actually have many things, but let me start with this one. So, I think the way this guy is speaking, I'm not sure he has any real friends. I think in his life, he has more frenemies than enemies.
Okay.
So, I would submit two other laws. There's Murphy's Law and there's Chaos Theory. In Murphy's Law is like a military doctrine in America, and it states that anything that can go wrong will. Mm-hmm. Then Chaos Theory is like the only thing one human can ever truly offer another is information, and the only action you can only ever really control is your own. So why I use these two as an example is that even in the act of war, you know, there are actually two acts of war. There was the one of Sun Tzu that is like a guide. Then there was one that was later written by his descendants that is more practical.
Okay.
So if I'm going by this tree, even Sun Tzu in the act of war made an exception that there's a point you put an enemy to. You need to give him a point to retreat from. That is, an extent you push someone to the edge, the person will fight back, and the person who is so desperate is very dangerous. So, if I'm going by Chaos Theory and this one, like in this green hole, if he thinks, oh, I can't trust my friend, even the enemy, how are you sure that enemy, you are never really sure that you control someone by 100%. Just like when you are dealing with confession stores, when you are like, you have some friends that you can't leave your girlfriend with.
Mm-hmm.
You have levels of friends, for example, you know, okay, I can trust this my friend with money. I can trust this my friend, my girlfriend. I can trust this one with this. But an enemy that he's saying you can trust, that particular person is with you for something. And a person that betrays another person, how do you expect him to be loyal to you? It doesn't make sense. Even like there was this episode of Suits where like, when I think Louis wanted to go to another company, they were like, once you betray one place, that place they are going to, you will not, they will never truly respect you. Like what you did to that person, you can do to me.
Mm. Okay, well, thank you very much. Now, we need to interrogate whether there are friends who fit the Robert Greene description. How about that?
I would say anybody that really in his description, I'm not sure you can qualify that person as your friend, because a true friend is even supposed to be willing to lose the friendship if it's for your benefit.
Oh, well,
the kind of people that he's describing for me are frenemies, not friends. And frenemies is a person that will pretend to be your friend, but he's with you for a reason.
Okay, so this is me playing the devil's advocate. So what about those kinds of friends who, for example, are not adversarial in nature or can't afford an argument? And so they may nicely just suggest, don't do it, it's not good, but whatever you decide, I'm here for you. You know those I'm here for you friends?
Yeah.
Even when the facts are blinding, right? Now, is it possible that there are friends who maybe honestly, according to Green's observation, honestly are not capable of, you know, telling you the truth? And in some regard, your enemies may be better depending on what you're aiming to achieve. Do you think so?
In that particular extent, as I said, it is, if I'm going to go by, like I said, principles, first of all, define what nature. So nature is either something is this or is not. So for me, what is a friend? It's just like there was a time, I think, like when you were talking about one of your subjects I think that is critical in every, almost every form is nature. What is the nature of a thing? Just like when you, like even this, our barrister Olumide, there was a topic he was written on, like when you'd be like, a parent is the person that keeps the best interest of the child at heart. Once the person does not defeat that particular description, he's just a sperm donor or it's just a womb. That's not a parent. So for me, any friend that doesn't have your interest, that person is not a friend.
All right, let's get into it then. Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate the Lords of Logic. This requires some thinking. Now, do you agree with Robert that there are some friends who are probably not a sharp enough tool in comparison to your enemies when you're trying to achieve something? Hello, welcome to the show. Turn off the volume of your radio set, please.
Hello, Lady J. Good afternoon.
Good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it.
This is Lord Emeka from Satellite.
Welcome, Lord Emeka from Satellite Town.
Yes. You, while you're discussing with the first caller, you kind of hit the nail on the head in the direction I would apply this second law of power.
Yeah, Emeka, wait. Something is dancing while you're speaking. And it's when the Lord speaks, nothing moves.
Oh, sorry, dear.
All right.
Better now?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. You kind of hit the nail on the head in the direction I would want to slice this second law of power.
Okay.
You see, Robert Greene was really talking about people who are already in power and how they could use the enemy to their own advantage. I'll give an example. You know, for instance, if you are the president or a governor and you will power over a society, a group of people, a country, a nation, the criticism of your enemies is even might work to your own advantage much more than your acolytes or your cronies and friends. For instance, let me use a typical instance here in Nigeria, where you find out that your people who you have, in a way, appointed to positions of authority, ostensibly to help you achieve your objective, be it positive or negative, most of them will always want to dance to your whims and caprices. They want to tell you things that you want to hear rather than what ought to hear.
Okay.
Your enemy, that is the opposition party, if you have a very formidable opposition, whom you might regard as enemy, might be on the other side telling you the truth. You come with one policy program, for instance, I'm going to cut down on my entourage next time I'm traveling. The opposition party is reading a different meaning to it and throwing more light on it. If you listen to your opposition, you find out that you're able to make the needed correction to get it right. Rather than listening to those acolytes, puppets and sycophants around you who only want to sing your praises and tell you what you want to hear. So that is the area I will see twisted as it may sound.
So basically, hold on a second. So basically, Robert Greene is explaining, or at least his frame of reference, is a Machiavellian world.
Exactly.
Okay, good. So it's not a world of friendships then. It's a world of advantage, might is right, get it if you can.
Exactly. Because this in modern world, Joyce, you will agree with me that most people you term friends, you call friends, are just people who are praise singers. A true friend should be one who, in the spirit of no friend, no fool, should be able to tell you what you ought to hear, what you ought to do, and what will lead you aright. Unfortunately, that is not what we have in the modern world. So if you are in power, it is important that you pay close attention to the criticism of your enemies, or those you consider to be enemies or opposition.
Yeah,
because
but
they might just be leading you down the right path and calling your attention to what you ought to know that is happening around you.
Okay.
That is the way I perceive it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your calling in. I do sincerely appreciate. Welcome, if you have just tuned in, you're listening to the Lords of Logic. My name is Joyce. We're looking at Robert Greene's law number 2 of his 48 Laws of Power, which says you don't put too much trust in friends, use your enemies instead. So I think from this last conversation, we are able to at least separate the kind of world Robert Greene may have been speaking of or referencing from, or the kind of world that provided him a reference. So we'll work the thoughts out a little bit more than we go into the logicality of the world, which was his frame of reference. I'm live streaming on Facebook, the Lords of Logic on Facebook. Let me get your view on never trust a friend, depend on your enemy. Hello.
No, good afternoon.
Good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling. You're listening to Nigeria Info's The Lords of Logic. My name's Joyce. What's your name?
Okay, I think I go with the second person's analogy.
Okay.
I
tell us your name, lady, real quick.
Okay. I would prefer a friend
who... Do you have a name, honey?
Oh, sorry. I didn't say that. Okay, I'm Lord Bully.
Good, Lord Bully. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I would prefer a friend who would criticize me constructively.
Okay.
I wouldn't feel comfortable in any way. Around the friend, I would be a puppet, like a dunce, a yes, 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 ma, yes, ma, no. That person, I wouldn't regard that person as a friend.
Okay.
Because by criticizing me constructively, you are trying to bring out the best in me.
Okay.
You know, because you are not doing it for personal gains. You are trying to see how you can take me out from that safe zone or that cool zone I am. And you want to push me to be a better person, like to better my lot.
Yeah, it's but that's not what Robert Greene is saying. Robert Greene is saying that your friends are useless
to
you.
It's only when you try me with the refining fire to bring out the best in me. You know, you burn the wheat, you burn the chaff, and make me the best of who I am. But if you're with me and I said this and you're okay, yes, yes, yes. You don't want the best of me. You just want to collect something for personal gain, for personal greed, for selfish interest.
Okay.
But if you want me or if you want me to be a better person, you would always criticize that thing you know would bring me doom or harm in future.
All right.
So that's how I see. I really don't.
Okay.
Why would I be surrounded by friends that would always dance to my tune as the piper?
Yeah, but he's speaking of a certain world. So he's not speaking of that world where your friend can become your brother, the one that Christ was referring to. He's referring, it appears that he's referring to a Machiavellian world. So we're going to touch that in a moment. But first, thank you very much for calling.
Let's,
I want to
thank you. That
yeah, sure. The Lords of Logic, my name is Joyce. It's good to have you join the conversation. 48 Laws of Power. We're trying to give language to the logic of Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power. I'm live streaming on Facebook. The Lords of Logic on Facebook, and here is a quick summary of what he could have been referring to in his Law 2 of the 48 Laws of Power, which is don't put too much trust in your friends, use your enemies instead. So a quick summary: an enemy at your heels keep you sharp, alert, and focused. You destroy an enemy when you make a friend of him. Are you hearing what this guy is saying? You destroy your enemy when you make a friend of him. All working situations require a kind of distance between them. Hire friends or hiring friends will limit your power. Skill and competence are more important than friendly feelings. When you decide to hire a friend, you will discover qualities she has kept hidden. An enemy spared the guillotine will be more grateful to you than a friend. Hold on, I want to repeat that one. An enemy spared the guillotine will be more grateful to you than your friend. Enemies expect nothing, so they will be surprised when you are generous. Do not rely on friends. They will never be totally honest with you. They will not openly disagree with you in order to avoid arguments. I don't know what kind of friends you'll keep, but this is a conversation to be had. My name's Joyce. Welcome to the Lords of Logic. Good to have you on the show. Hey. Hey, the volume, please. You're a lord. Come on now. Hello.
My name is Michael.
Welcome, Lord Mike.
I totally align to what he's trying to say. I come from the business perspective. If you ask the top banks in Nigeria who their enemies are, they will tell you that they are their competitor. And the moment you don't take them into cognizance, you're on your way out. You are going to die. I'll just give one example as my understanding of the topic we are discussing.
Okay.
Without sounding amateur, I'm very intelligent and highly competitive. So when I went to Abia State University, economic department, I was the shining star until one lady came. Her name is Jovo, Julian Okafor. The day Jovo came was the day I started hating her because she was very, very intelligent, very extremely more intelligent than myself. And I looked at her as an enemy. What did that do to me? That brought out my best possible potential. I read and read and read because I didn't want the road to be more intelligent than myself. She still beat me to it. But what I gained was that it got out the best of me. I think that's what Robert Greene is trying to talk about. Thank you so very much.
All right. Okay. So thank you, but it requires a little bit more analysis because your own personality is supposed to shine through on the Lords of Logics. There is a perception and then there is a conclusion. So from your own story, that's a girl who's smarter than you at school. Then just because you saw her as an enemy, you read much more. And you are honestly admitting that she still did better at you at school. So basically, she didn't even need to make you an enemy to outdo you. She was just good at what she was doing. So it seems as though the Robert Greene book is written for a person of your kind of personality and not for this classmate of yours that was more intelligent. She need not read Robert Greene. She need not have any manipulative intentions to outdo you. She's just bloody good at what she knows how to do. So you saw her as the enemy. Can you see it now? Good. I also am of the opinion that Robert Greene writes books for a certain type of human personality when you psychologically try to understand human behavioral science. Some human beings are manipulatable. They're malleable. Others, not so much. So they're more rooted in their persuasions and in their thinking. Now, those ones are not the people that Robert will be writing for. I'm off on a break. I'll be right back. I guess I'll do one more conversation. When I come back, I want to share with you just a quick summary into Machiavellian sense of thinking. And maybe as we delve into this book, we may be properly able to establish that the universe of love, peace, and love your neighbor as yourself, be your brother's keeper, may not be the world Robert Greene wrote about. He may have written of a world where might is right and the winner takes it all, or the one who's stronger takes it all. So maybe that's the world. I think there are two different worlds here, and it's not the one of your religious background where you love your neighbor and seek out his good. He may be referring to something else here. Until we're able to establish the world he was referring to, we are puppets in his hands. So to resist this whole puppet strings, or to move against it, we must properly comprehend the world he's referring to and determine whether we fit into his scheme or whether we're independent minds standing outside of it. The Lords of Logic.
What? Where are the Lords? This is the Lords of Logic on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. So in the field of Machiavellianism, it is in the field of personality psychology. All right. So Machiavellianism is a personality. Hold on, my handsome brother. Machiavellianism is a personality trait characterized by interpersonal manipulation, indifference to morality, lack of empathy, and a strategic focus on self-interest. So I'm sharing, I want to call it another philosophy. So imagine that there is a world, and in that world, it is possible that that's the world where Robert Greene extracted the laws for the 48 laws of power. Remember, I'm not giving you something to chew. If I give you something, split it open and determine whether the contents of that is something that you accept to be or not to be. So you're interrogating this with every logicality you can afford. Now, in Machiavellianism. So let me quickly go to something that's a root, like a foundation stone in Machiavellianism. Okay, Machiavellian. Okay, Machiavelli. Good. By the way, that's a human being. And he came up with this. His name is Niccolo Machiavelli. That's his name. And he came up with this psychological blueprint, which he wrote for a prince. And so, by the way, you can read Niccolo Machiavelli's work on the prince. There's a book called The Prince. Please read it, except you want something more interesting than read the Bible. Otherwise, yeah, you can read that to see what he did as far as the structuring of the power manipulation for the prince. So we'll just go to Machiavelli's in Machiavelli's theory, it's said to be one of the traits in the dark triad model, along with psychopathy and narcissism. So the dark triad is narcissism, Machiavellianism and psychopathy. Remember, I'm only giving you a point of reference. I'm going to open up the telephone lines now. And as you speak of this world where he drew his belief or his persuasions, you'll find out whether this is the world you should live in or whether this is the world for the people who should by their nature are in opposite. Or I would say that by their nature, they are... I don't want to call them outrightly your enemies, but I would say that they live in a world that's opposite to yours. And so you must maybe learn to deal with them as they are, not adopt their nature as you've been told they are. So let's work it. Hello, welcome to the show. Whew.
Hi, Joyce.
Good to have you here.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good to have you.
So, Joyce, I want you to...
Speak up for me, please. Speak up, okay?
All right. Is it better now?
Do you think it's better?
All right. Okay, so I want you to see this.
What's your name?
Okay, my name is Daniel.
Welcome, Dan. Thank you.
Our president-in-chief.
Okay.
President Tinubu. Uh-huh. Yes. There was this man that accused him of being very corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderfully, when President Tinubu got to be president, what did he do? He made this man to be, what was that, was Nuri Bado. I think he gave him a position, I've forgotten.
Okay.
But when Nuri Ribadu was the chairman of the EFCC,
mm-hmm.
he accused him of being very corrupt.
Okay.
And he was under investigation. But now Nuri Ribadu is actually working hand in hand with President Tinubu.
Okay.
So I think this book, 48 Laws of Power, is for people like President Tinubu. It's not for a senior man being. Because you can't really behave like them. Because this is for our politicians, people that see this world as a battle, people that don't have human feelings,
okay.
not like people that are necessarily very wicked or
okay.
wicked to a certain part, people that are very hard.
Okay.
So I don't believe this book is for people to just consume. It's for a certain type of people. It's not for everybody. So I think this is the kind of book our politicians have been reading, because if you see the policies they play in Nigeria, it's the kind of policies that this book talks about. Nobody is a permanent friend, nobody is a permanent enemy.
Okay.
Once their interests align, they also align, they're also balling together. So I think this is a book for, not for a senior man, but for people like that.
Okay, well, if you say so. Thank you very much for calling, I do appreciate. Do you understand, never use your friends, use your enemies instead? Hello, welcome to the Lords of Logic. Turn up the volume of your radio set.
Hello, good afternoon, Joyce.
Yeah, afternoon.
The Logic Goddess.
What, did you call me earlier?
This is Igwe Victor.
Good to have you here. Welcome, Lord Victor.
Yeah. Don't put too much trust on your friend.
Mm.
I think it has to do with, first of all, identifying who you are and who the rest of people around you, their interest on you. Because we have people we call psychophants. We have people we call fair weather friends. Those friends who always come very close to you when they feel you will be a shed to them. Then we have real mutual friends, those friends who are always few to identify with you, even in the hardest of time that you may be passing through.
So which friend is green?
Yeah,
which friend is green speaking of?
Huh?
What kind of friends do you think Green is speaking of?
I think he's talking about the fair weather friends, the psychophants. And he is left for you as an individual to identify the actual friend. If you go to the play of Shakespeare between Julius Caesar and Brutus,
mm-hmm.
by the time every other person among people that Julius Caesar was calling his friends, we are actually seeing him as being overambitious, because Caesar was actually trying to protect himself, but
okay.
his friends felt he was overambitious, that he wanted to be a senator. At the end of the day, he was disappointed that Brutus, that he called his own friend, was among those people who gave him the last dagger that saw his death. That was the reason he said, even you, Brutus. So, in life, like you said in one of the items, that you can destroy your enemy by making him a friend. You only have to know who is your enemy from being a friend. In life, if you don't identify the real friend mm-hmm. or who is a psychophant or a fair weather friend, it will be difficult for an individual to actually know when to use an individual for survival.
But if you have a goal, you already know what your objectives are, so you can know when to use who or what, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the one who's wielding the power must be skilled at manipulation. Isn't that it? So he would know when to use what?
Yes, that is when you want to use making your enemy a friend to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
So to say, if you want to strike an individual, by posing that both of you are enemies, you may not get at him.
That's not true. That's the thing. I disagree. Angle. Okay, go ahead. I just disagree with that. Go ahead.
Anytime you exhibit fierce outlook of enmity between you and individual, he might be counting steps very close to you.
Yeah, and that don't mean I can't take out the enemy. So that's the thing. Are you saying that the only strategy against your enemy is deception and manipulation? It's where you have to befriend your enemy so that you can stab them at night when they sleep. That's the only strategy.
This is in inter-switch of this particular ideology. Between knowing who is your friend and who is the actual enemy.
That's not difficult to figure out. No, hold on a second. Who your friend is and who your enemies are is not even a different thing. By the way, the one who's manipulating is not there for a long time. He's there for a good time. He has an objective. So you can't be struggling with establishing who friends and enemies are. That's easy for the one who's manipulating.
To survive as an individual. When you want to use the factor of making sure you hold on the grip of power, that is what I mean.
Yeah, I think I understand you. Are you just corroborating the fact that Robert Greene is right when he says your enemies are better tools in your hands, basically?
Yes.
Oh.
I want to go with it because the only time you deal with your enemy is by the time you make him your friend.
Okay, good. So let's put that aspect to the public. Let's put that to the public because I would disagree with that. Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. So the Lords of Logic, if you agree with this Lord who has just called in, he says the only way you can disarm your enemy is to make them your friend. I totally disagree. Totally disagree. So if you disagree or agree, let's hear your position. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Yeah, this is Joe.
Welcome, Lord Joe. Go ahead.
All right. I'm not contributing to the topic because I don't really know what the topic is all about. But I want to disagree with the previous caller before this Igwe Victor.
That's you contributing. How are you? What are you saying?
He said our politicians are smart and books of Robert Greene are made for them. But that's a lie. Our politicians are one of the dullest in the world.
Okay.
Our leader. They are not actually smart. They're not smart. If you see the decisions they make, the strategy they use, their common strategy, they're just leading people that doesn't actually care or that doesn't actually respond or that doesn't actually. I'm not going to put it now.
So if you say our politicians are simplistic in their thinking or in their strategies, then how do they succeed? Is it because the people are weak or afraid or maybe lower in intelligence than the politicians?
If you watch how the loops around the ceremony, it's not detailed, it's not hidden. You can usually see it. That's what they can actually come out and tell you. Snake swallows on some money and the rest. That's bullshit. That's not smart.
So they think we're stupid and we're proving them right.
Most of us are stupid. In fact, 80% of Nigerians are just stupid when it comes to the politicians leading them. They are not smart. They are the dullest in the world, to be honest.
All right.
That's just the plain truth. So that guy is wrong saying they don't work by any principle. They don't work by any rules. If you have read Robert Greene book, Act of Seduction, and these are For the Laws of Power, you know, they're for smart people. When they're talking about Mike, what's the guy's name? So many of them that you refer to, their logic are deep and really, really intelligent decisions.
Yeah, there's a craft to manipulation. Not necessarily intelligence, but
okay.
There's a craft. There's a method to manipulation, but it's not intelligent.
The truth about this is our politicians They are not intelligent.
All right.
They're not. 80% of them are not intelligent. They're just being favored by God for the reason and the rest.
All right.
Talking about playing with politics. No. It's not our politicians.
All right. Got it. Oof.
Thanks.
Lagos, we've been jammed in the face by a caller who says that maybe the only reason our politicians are surviving is because we're really far lower in stupidity. No, we're probably lower than their expectation of reasonableness. It's a minute before 45, and I did tell you, look, I sincerely want to apologize. I can no longer further the conversation. If you're on the telephone lines, we'll continue this conversation next week. If you're listening, please accept my appeal. The conversation will continue next week. And as much as I would love to repeat it, I'm not even sure, but I think I should, because we haven't done much justice to this. We need to properly and with intent see whether we can give some logicality to the world Robert Greene is referring to. And we can only do that when we properly engage ourselves in his thinking and in the laws that he has stipulated in his book, The 48 Laws of Power. So maybe next week we'll touch a little bit on chapter 2 before we go into chapter 3. Sincere apologies, please. Next week we'll continue on the Lords of Logic. In the meantime, I'm off on a break. We'll have guests in the studio. And I did tell you there's information you can use. Remember, oneplay.ng, you can play to win. *347, *880, *#. Let me know that you are in the draws that happen any moment from now on Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Don't go anywhere.